This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to our very first episode, I guess you'd call it an episode, of Christ Together Radio here on WDCX. This has been something that has been brewing in my heart for a number of months, and I know with some other friends I'm going to introduce you to. My name is Brett Larson. I'm the general manager of WDCX, and this is a program designed to help you understand what God is doing in the Church of Western New York. We call it Christ Together Radio, kind of after an organization of pastors that's nationwide, but our local expression, Christ Together of Western New York, coming together to be on mission for Jesus Christ. And we want to take this program and just dedicate it to God, first of all, to Jesus and to the gospel, and to what's going on at the in the Church of Western New York. I'll be your host. I'll be walking you through each week. We'll have different guests, different pastors, different men and women who are involved with God on mission in Western New York. And sitting alongside of me is Ryan Cozy. He'll be my co-host. And Ryan is the pastor of missional living at the chapel at Cross Point and kind of heads up the Christ Together Network in Western New York. This is something that we kind of just happenstance dreamed up as we started talking, Ryan, and I'm really excited about what God is going to do through the program, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. It's fun to be a part of this. It's neat to see what God is doing in and throughout representatives of the Church of Western New York. I think, as is the case with every movement that you get connected to, when I use the phrase, you know, Church of Western New York, does it mean that all of the churches are together? No, but a significant representation of those churches are, and we're just excited about what's been going on in and throughout the leadership of those churches, and that is not just something local, which is what we're very passionate about, but it's also neat to see it at a regional and a national level. So it's an exciting season to be connected to something like this.
And this is something that's been brewing for quite a long time in Western New York. It goes way back to a bunch of, you know, pastors getting together who are like-minded for the mission of God. Quite a few years ago, and then there was the Good Friday event. Mm-hmm. You can remind me of the year that was. Was
sure.
It 13?
I think it was 13.
2013, yeah. Where churches in Western New York got together to celebrate Good Friday, and a really big event. Some 10,000 people in Western New York showed up for that, and it's been really great. Now, maybe you'd like to introduce to our guest this morning who is going to be kind of hanging out with us today, and Dan's been a kind of an integral part of the landscape of the Western New York church community for a number of years, and mm-hmm. and has come back and planted a church here. But I guess I've already introduced him. So
yeah, well, I'd say let me say a couple things. So, Dan has been connected with us for a handful of years. It's always really cool when a native son of Western New York comes home. And so, even though I'm not originally from here by birth, but I've spent about half my life here, so I think I now qualify as being a Western New Yorker.
Yeah, you're in.
It takes a while, you're staring down 40. You're like, hey, you've been here 20 years. Okay, yeah, I guess we'll let you in.
Yeah.
But Dan is he's a pastor in the region at Restoration Church, and just one of the things that I've really enjoyed about in my time working with Dan is just. He just has a commitment to cultivate leaders in the region, raising up young men that want to lead, and he's just willing to invest time in those guys. And that's, that's not when you're a pastor of a local church, like, that stuff can get lost very quickly. But it's priority for him, and right. It's part of his reach into this region as a leader.
And Dan, it's Dan Trippi, he's the lead pastor of Restoration Church, and Dan, how long has Restoration Church been around now?
We're actually celebrating 8 years.
8 years already.
8 years, September 1st. 8 years ago, I moved back to Buffalo from a short stint away and came back to Plant Restoration.
It seems like every homegrown Western New Yorker that leaves somehow finds their way back, doesn't it?
Well, after you go away and you realize what a great place this is to live, sometimes when you live in the midst of it, you're always wondering, well, what else is out there? Then you go away and you go, we sit on perhaps the greatest jewel in North America right here in Western New York.
And the jewel is the people.
Absolutely.
For me, traveling around the country, and Ryan, you travel a lot. You travel a lot, Dan. It's always nice to come home to Western New York because of the people.
Absolutely.
So that's great. Hey, today we're going to be talking with Dan about a number of different things regarding the Church of Western New York, regarding Christ Together, and what God is doing on mission in Western New York. One of those things is mobilizing God's people, how God is mobilizing his people, how God is connecting pastors who maybe a decade ago or two decades ago would have never met together with a common purpose of planting churches, and how God is using that. We're going to talk about leadership cultivation. Dan Trippi is really, really open and instrumental in developing leaders within the Church of Western New York, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But when we come back from our very quick break here, we're going to dig right into it, and we want you to stick around. If you have questions that you want to send to us through email, email them to CTR, standing for Christ Together Radio, CTR at WDCXradio.com. We'll take a look at your questions. We'll try to get to them. If you have something you're interested in or something you'd like to get in front of some of the leaders of the Church of Western New York, shoot us an email, and we'll see if we can get to your questions. And it might take us a week or so to dig through them and respond to you. But we'd love to hear from you about maybe what God is doing in your church or what God is doing in your past with your pastor and your church. So we'll be back right after that. We're going to dig in with Ryan Cozy and Dan Trippi regarding Christ Together and the mobilization of God's people.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
We're back on Christ Together Radio. I'm your host, Brett Larson. I'm the general manager of WDCX, and I just have a heart for the Church of Buffalo. And I'm here with Ryan Cozy. He's my co-host. Ryan is the lead pastor of... Actually, he's the lead pastor of Missional Living, and that's a funny title because you're actually it's a pastor of Missional Living.
Yeah.
And Dan Trippi here is the lead pastor of Restoration Church, and everybody's got these long. I can't figure everything out. I got all these notes here.
Yes,
but we're here with Dan and Ryan, and we're talking about the Church of Western New York and what that looks like in the landscape and what we believe God is on mission doing in Western New York. And one of those, well, actually, the main thing of what we believe the church is for, what we believe the church at Western New York is for, and it's biblical. It's right. It's God's main command. It's Jesus' main command as he left us on earth to set up his kingdom on earth. And that's through people, and that's through developing the church, and that's through gospel saturation. That's so that every man, woman, and child can hear and see the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the end game and the finish line that we're looking at. One of the things, or a couple of things that are instrumental in accomplishing that mission are developing leaders. Because if we don't have leaders, everybody's doing whatever they want and nobody's really working together. And the other thing is developing leaders so that people are mobilized, because mm-hmm. God works through people. God works through his church. And so Dan and Ryan, I don't know which one wants to handle which issue first, but let's talk about leadership first, because I think that's key to mobilizing people. Those two things work hand in hand. So maybe Dan, you can talk about leadership engagement and development and why that's so important.
Sure. Yeah, I mean the real beauty of what God has designed in the church is that he put the temple in us. He put it in people, and then he sends people out on mission, and they're on mission where exactly God in his providence has placed them. Mm-hmm. So the vision is to have every man, woman, and child have a repeated opportunity to bump into somebody who understands what their grace story is, understands how to articulate the gospel, understands how to actually live out the gospel. So to do that, you have to have people mm-hmm. that are empowered with the Holy Spirit in them. And then we have to have leaders that come along and help disciple them, nurture them, and then cast a vision for their circle of accountability or their community where God's placed them. Mm-hmm. And I think for so long, it's been easy to think about, hey, the mission of the church is to get people in here to come hear the silver-tongued communicator mm-hmm. or to experience. Now, I'm not downplaying Sunday morning experience. That's a big part. But when we really think about it, an hour and a half during the week isn't enough to really develop leaders. So my role and what I put a lot of my time into at Restoration Church is actually just spending one-on-one time discipling leaders and helping them then equip other people in their circle of accountability to go out and saturate the region.
Dan, you hit on something that I think is interesting, and it sparked my mind because I've had this conversation maybe just a few days ago with Neil Boron and with some others. And Ryan, maybe you can speak to this too, because you're in an interesting situation, and I'll explain why in a second. I honestly believe that, and Dan, I think we've actually talked about this, that the current model of the North American church is going to get blown up in some way, shape, or form of just, you know, big churches doing big stuff and big events, and that's kind of what you were talking about, how things have to change a little bit. And Ryan's in a unique situation because you're in a very large church, probably the largest church in Western New York, but a church that I think handles the monster of being large as well as I've ever seen anybody, and is just very focused on not highlighting themselves as being the big guy in the block who tells everybody what to do. And I think that's why we have such a great connection with Christ together. But tell me, just either one of you, maybe Ryan, you can jump in here,
sure,
as to what you think the church is going to need to look like in the coming years in order to accomplish leaders mobilizing people who bump into people with the gospel.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things going on here, and so that I think are, they're telltale signs. So in addition to my work as a pastor locally, I also serve as kind of the research analyst for Christ Together, and so that's kind of my research background as a social scientist. And what we have found is that there is a discipleship crisis in America. So a study that I oversee, we've surveyed roughly 60,000 evangelicals. We've collected almost 5 million points of data in this study. And what we see is just a disconnect between people growing spiritually and exercising a concern for lostness in the region. And so a lot of times what happens is the idea of spiritual formation kind of gets hijacked a little bit, and people begin to focus on having more knowledge than everybody else. But what happens is there's a disconnect between what you know and what you actually practice, you know, what you practice. Mm-hmm. And so there's a generation of folks that really are kind of in need of understanding clearly that in order to reach every man, woman, and child in a region, 1.2 million people in Western New York, it literally is going to take every man, woman, and child to reach the lostness of a geography, those who have been found by God. They all need one another. And so one of the things that's really important for us in our local church context is, hey, do we have good preaching? Do we have a good leadership team? Yeah, I think so. I really do. But what I'm most passionate about and what our senior team is most passionate about is just getting to the understanding that no one church and no one senior leadership team mm-hmm. is going to be able to actually reach 1.2 million people. It's going to take a lot of leadership teams that distribute themselves and really begin to practice as part of their work rhythm. My job is to raise up people to believe that God has and wants to use them. He has not made a mistake when he put them in the family he did. Mm-hmm. He did not make a mistake when he put them on the street that he did. He did not make a mistake when he gave them the passions that he did that put them around mingling with lost people. And when people begin to believe that the leadership really sees that as a reality, it becomes transfixing and it becomes just a great opportunity. But it's just the helping people to understand, no, the bullet in the chamber to reach a geography, sorry for the gun metaphor, but you know, like if all you're relying on is great preaching in large events, right. You know, you can get something out of that, absolutely. But that is not the only way by which we see saturation of the gospel happen. It just can't happen that way.
It's actually interesting. If you know, we look at the scriptures, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God gives to Adam and Eve, you know, he gives them the creation mandate, mm-hmm. and then he tells them, go be fruitful, multiply, scatter, take the glory of God outside the garden, saturate the earth with it. We follow that trajectory through the Bible, and you see that God's people are always out scattering. Even during the time of the nation of Israel, there's still to be a light to the nations. Then we get to Acts, we get to Pentecost, right? Mm-hmm. And we see the Holy Spirit comes down, fills his people. And within 50 years, when you pull the lid off of it, you look and you go, those 3,000 that were there at the day of Pentecost, within 50 years, you look in the Mediterranean is actually saturated with the gospel. Now, how did that happen? There's 12 senior leaders at that time, right? And all of a sudden there's an entire region has got the gospel is in Rome.
It's the power
50 years.
Exponentials.
It's the power that God has put the temple on the move in our New Testament time. And he's put the temple on the move, and it's mobile and it's accessible. So the job of leadership then becomes, how do we, as Ryan said, bring back together this spiritual formation and at the same time mobilization? It's all one. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, reality is we've all done seminary, right?
Right.
You know, I teach at a seminary now, and you know, part of why I've been brought into this particular seminary is just the concern. You know, our folks know how to marry, they know how to bury, they know how to counsel, all very needed things. You know how to preach, very needed things. Mm-hmm. How do they lead? Mm-hmm. How do you lead everyday people? Mm-hmm. It is one of the greatest challenges and greatest opportunities that we face. And yet there are many seminaries and Bible colleges that are pumping out leaders that really have not been road tested.
Right.
And so we really need to focus some attention on that even as everyday people come in, you know, leadership is you know, it's this massive industry that people make a lot of money writing books on. but it's very hard to just look at someone and say, yeah, but can you lead a Western New Yorker to have concern for other Western New Yorkers. Right. That's where we live in praxis.
Right.
And that's a great challenge.
And that's reality, because even for, I was joking earlier, I think I was talking to my wife, and I was saying between the three of us here today, we could wallpaper an outhouse with our degrees.
My father would say that's where they belong.
Exactly. That's why I was kind of, that's why I said outhouse, not a, you know, not Donald Trump's bathroom or something. And yet, that means absolutely nothing to someone on the street who just needs to hear about Jesus. And there's real people out there. And we talked about this before we turned the mics on today, about how there's real people out there who sometimes when we talk as Christian leaders, quote leaders, we talk inner circle a lot. And I think that's kind of a smaller version of or manifestation of what happens in the big church. Mm-hmm. And by big church, I mean the whole church, people's different local congregations, probably more so in the 80s and 90s, the almost separation movement where it was like, you know, us four and no more, because we were so afraid of the world around us. And I grew up in that. And what, yeah, okay, we were protected from some things, but the other side of that is we did not rub into people. We did not come in contact with people who were able to see what Christ had done in us, to hear about what Christ had done in us, to see the difference. And Ryan, I know even personally, and I don't want to embarrass you, but even you with your neighbors, it's impressive what God has been able to do through you and your family to your neighbors. And to me, it's like, hey, this is somebody worth listening to because they do it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that God's been impressing on me and my family recently, too, is just to really reach out to real people who are in need. And I think when we start to do that, we do see mobilization, but it's got to start with the leadership. And that's kind of what Christ Together does. So I want to talk about how we more dig into a little more maybe about the meat of how we're going to develop leaders and how do we come across leaders who will lead people into mobilizing themselves and getting underneath what God is doing in Western New York. And we're going to do that right after this.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson here, your host, and Ryan Cozy joining me as co-host. And we'll be bringing you stories of what God is doing throughout Western New York. Our goal here is to help people, help you engage on mission with God. We know God is a God of mission. We call it the Missio Dei in seminary circles. And what all that means is God's on mission. God's working somewhere, and it's our job to get underneath of that and let him use us to facilitate the gospel to people we come in contact with. That's the real simple message of what the Church of Western New York is trying to do, or a number of churches are coming together. Not everybody, but and we know that we don't speak for everybody, obviously, but the Christ Together Network of Western New York is really having a heart and developing a bigger and bigger heart to see what God is doing throughout Western New York.
Yeah.
And Ryan, Dan Trippi has joined us today. He's from Restoration Church, and
Dan has really kind of begun to model what needs to happen in order for this to take place. And he's kind of a good representative for our first week here at Christ Together Radio to walk us through what this might look like. And I know, Ryan, you've been involved with Dan a little bit more in setting up some new expressions and new ideas. And so maybe I'll let you guys take this.
So earlier in the show, we were talking about, you know, ultimately this comes down as can you lead everyday people? So one of the things that we probably all love about Western New York, you know, I'm from Cleveland. I married a girl from Detroit. I went to college in Toledo. And I've settled down in Buffalo. So I think I've got the Rust Belt kind of nailed down. There's a simplicity of everyday people. And that's one of the things that we probably love a lot about a Rust Belt town, right? Mm-hmm. You know, simple, hardworking people. But reaching those people, it requires really getting down on their level and just understanding, like, okay, what's going on in the context where God has asked us to, you know, position ourselves. So a good example of this, I think, and I'd love, Dan, for you to speak to. A couple of years ago, your church was involved in, giving life to a new church expression in Lancaster. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the great things that I learned in watching that process is, okay, here's what we presuppose is going to be needed in Lancaster. Even prayer walking, looking at the neighborhood, you know, doing the demographics. I mean, all of the due diligence being done that was, but you discovered something else, and that affected the way that you go about leadership. I think it's a great story to share.
Yeah. So we decided, prayer and just really looking at the needs and the data and all the specifics, and we found ourselves in the Depew, Lancaster area. And one of our young leaders who we've been investing in had a real heart for that area, so he sold his home in Amherst, moved into the Depew area, and really spent a lot of time prayer walking, assembled a team, prayer walk, got to meet people, and was sharing the gospel with neighbors and friends. And so this congregated into a church setting, and we started to kind of follow down a trajectory that would look like what we would have in our mind as church. About 7 months into it, though, what we realized is the people that God was sending to us all had substance abuse problems, primarily heroin. At that point, we just really had to get on our face and say, Lord, how do you lead and minister to people, not just those who are struggling with the addiction, but those who love the person struggling with the addiction? And that caused us to really tear the whole thing down, get on our knees and ask the Lord. And from that, what we've seen is that we have found the best way to serve the gospel into that community is to have an addiction support group. So last March, we ended up gathering together a lot of the local agencies that were already on the ground, the police department, Horizons, Kids Escaping Drugs, brought everybody together in the different agencies that were there and said, hey, we want to serve you because what we can't do is this, but what we do think we can do well is help minister to the families that are trying to love somebody through that addiction. So out of that now, what's come is Thursday night support group where we've had on the average about 40 to 45 different people that come every week, and they're walking through a gospel narrative about, you know, what is fundamentally underneath the addiction problem, mm-hmm. and what does the Bible have to say about that, and to support one another in that. Now, from that, what has kind of spurred out of that now is two additional small groups that are meeting in those communities. Now, those people may go to different churches on Sunday, and that's fine. We're not really concerned about where people shake out, but we want to make sure is that every man, woman, and child is having an opportunity to rub up with the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the things that was fascinating about that whole story was there were, in addition to Joe, Mike White was a part of just kind of understanding the context of Depew. And so I had the privilege, and I really did, I counted it as a privilege to walk with Mike for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Every week we would get together, and there were months where, okay, you know, Tuesday morning, what are we doing? Well, we're going to pray over Depew. We're going to walk the streets of Depew. We're going to have meals in Depew. We're going to get to know the people of Depew. And this wasn't, hey, we're going to do this for 2 weeks and it's going to be great. It was like, hey, for the next couple of years, if we're going to plant a church that really is seriously wanting to see the saturation of the gospel, even in places like Depew, because that's Western New York. You know, these are some of the challenges we face. It's going to take, you're going to pound pavement. You're going to pray over streets. You're going to try to pay attention, and you're going to, where you can't discern, you're going to cry out to God, Lord, help me to understand. And it only takes a few weeks of, I can remember at one point, Mike and I, we were praying at one of the back parts of Depew, close to the Main Street area. There was this old, in Buffalo, they call bars gin mills. You know, there's this old gin mill, you know, and it was serving lunch. And, Mike and I just felt strongly like we need to go in here and we need to have a meal and we just need to ask questions and discern, God, what are these people look like? Like, what does Depew look like? And you go into a gin mill in the middle of the day during the week and you see a lot of folks that are very hurt. They're very broken. There's good food. But there's a lot of folks that are coping with challenges without the gospel. And it's a rude awakening to someone who is not willing to go in open-handed and say, Lord, whatever it takes to reach these people, I will do. And I think that Mike and Joe and just a team of Restoration, that was something, I was proud to be connected with that. I was excited to be connected with that. Mm-hmm. And I long to see hundreds of others other church expressions like that in the region doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about that is some of the feedback that we've heard was when we kind of abandoned our plans and just started to listen and go, okay, well, let us try to serve where the need really is. The feedback from people was, you're not trying to get us to come to your shtick, right? Mm-hmm. Now you really care about us. Mm-hmm. You really are in this for us for the long haul.
Yeah. Let me ask you, let's just ask the real hard question here. I think planning a church like that is actually really difficult compared to kind of the old mentality if you go to the suburb where there's money, right? Let's just be honest. Churches take money to operate. I mean, there's at some point it's got to be financially stable to support what's happening. This is a hard road. This is kind of like the special forces of church planning, and it's a long, hard road, and it takes patience, but it also takes people getting involved. I mean, that's kind of where we wind up again, is that the church, you, me, and those listening who know Jesus Christ, have a commandment to get involved with the gospel going forward. And so if we're not involved as a church, as a stable and established church, these kind of things can't happen, can they?
Yeah. No, and one of the things I look forward to in the future of this broadcast is, this is one example, and we're highlighting that because that's why Dan's here. It's one of the things we're excited about. But there are other partners throughout the region, not just Depew, but in tough contexts. I think about urban context of the city of Buffalo. I think about some of the work being done in Niagara Falls and some of the work being done in Lockport. I mean, there is much that is required of us. But yeah, the leaders that go in open-handed, they go in low, they go in teachable. Mm-hmm. Lord, teach me about this context. Teach me what we need to understand so that we bring you glory in bringing a relevant, the truth of the gospel into a context that is so utterly broken. And the reality is, yeah, you're right. It's one of those situations where we're not keeping score on traditional metrics of planting. Do we want to plant churches in suburbs? Yes, we do. Do we want to plant churches, though, in rural areas that constitute Western New York? Yes, we do. And do we want to see churches planted in urban contexts that represent Western New York? You better believe that we do. The population density requires that of us. Mm-hmm. And so contextually, the willingness to go in low, to go in humble, and to learn and to understand context, it's key. And you can't, and this happens way too often, and it's very unfortunate. It's one of the things that I'm thankful that God is doing in the Church of Western New York is he's not holding us hostage by simple metrics like attendance and tithing. And, those things can detract your understanding. If that's the only method that you employ into a context and you're really not looking at what does the context really need and the people that are willing to invest in that and give time to that, if they don't understand the timeline of what it's going to take to see that happen, you know, it's a zero sum game. Like right. Nobody wins in that.
Right.
And so God is awakening and he's stirring in the hearts of leaders. And it needs to happen more. I'm not saying that we've arrived. By no mm-hmm. means have I said that.
Right, right.
But he is stirring in the hearts of leaders to say, man, this is requiring a completely different approach. And the metrics that are traditional and suburban, mm-hmm. man, we can be held hostage by those if we're not careful.
Right, right. That's know? What I was kind of saying. Yeah. If you just joined us, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm your host, Brett Larson, with my co-host, Ryan Cozy, and Dan Trippi, lead pastor of Restoration Church, is joining us in studio today. We're talking about God engaging with us on mission, or us engaging with God on his mission, and what that looks like, and church planning, and getting our hands dirty for the Lord, and just getting down into places that may not typically be where traditional churches went, and how do we reach them, and how do we develop leaders who will be willing to go wherever God calls them, wherever God leads them, and it's a great conversation. If you want to get involved in what we're doing here, and you have a question, or you want to let us know about something happening in your community, give us an email, just shoot us an email at ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's CTR, that stands for Christ Together Radio, at WDCX.com. And we'd be glad to get to those questions when they come up, and we'll see. We'll do our best to answer anything you might have, or maybe address, or if you have a topic you think would be great for the show. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love for you to become engaged in what we're doing here. We're talking about, we talked about a church plant that Restoration is kind of, or some ministry opportunities that Restoration is involved in Lancaster. Let's shift the topic to leadership development a little bit. I want to ask you, Dan, how do you find the next person who can lead a ministry in your church? And let's get practical. Let's maybe not even speak of your context, but how there's pastors out there who are struggling right now. They feel like a one-armed paper hanger.
Yeah, I think
try to picture that.
Okay. That's a great question.
Yeah.
But you know, I think part of it too is recognizing the giftedness that God has entrusted you with. So I think oftentimes we look and we have a preconceived idea of this is the ministry. Now I must find the leader to plug and play, as opposed to looking at what God has put into the person, who is this person, and then how do we best help them flourish and build something around them that fits who they are. So I think when you approach it like that, first it takes a lot of time. Right. Mm-hmm. So is we're just to jump back a little bit about what we were talking about. When you're going to go in and serve in a context like that, we have to take care of our leaders who are there. And many times we look at the leadership development pipeline and it's very academic. And
right.
I have those bents as well. Hey, we're going to go through this class, or we're going to go through these mm-hmm. things. But what we're continuing to discover is more than that. It's just time spent with guys, caring for them, caring for their family, and then helping set people up to win. And when we do that, if you set people up to win, who are they? What are their gifts? What are their passions? And then help let the ministry flow out of that. The leaders are there.
Do you think we have a leadership vacuum in the church right now? Just a short answer, yes, or maybe, or somewhat.
I think we have a mobilization issue.
Okay. I'm wondering, because one of the things that I've kind of, I think God has brought this to my attention recently, and I'm getting involved with a young guy at our local church context, and also here at the station with mentorship.
Yep.
And I think that's a key thing that's been maybe missing, or maybe we haven't quite grasped the value of that.
I think we had this conversation once before on the air.
We
talked about this, and traditionally, somebody comes, they feel a call to ministry, and what's the next step? Move away, go to seminary, learn to preach and teach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not disparaging that,
at all.
That has some value, but that process, if we run that process out, that's a 4 to 5 year process that's incurring debt, and then that person may or may not come back here because now they have debt they need to support that.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at who's God put in our midst, how do we mine the gifts, help them connect with their spiritual giftedness, help them connect with their personality, who they are, spend time mentoring that, and then release them into what what they feel passionate about doing. One of our core values is called empowerment. What God's going to do, he's going to do through his people. That's a quote from my mentor, Dwight Smith. Mm-hmm. And I think tearing down the preconceived idea of this is what church leadership looks like and helping people be released into what God has already placed in them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I think one of the key things for those of us who are, I hate to say this, getting older, we are, Dan, I think you're 3 years older than me. I know that. So
I'm not even 40 yet.
Just because we went to the same high school. I know that. But I'm just throwing that out there. But as we do get a little older, sure. I think one of the things we have is we almost have like a reset button, or we have a chance to get it better or get it right with some of the young men that we come across, and to really seek out. And I think, Dan, you're doing this, and we are all starting to figure this out, I think, in the church, is to seek out the next generation before they're 40.
Yep.
So that when they're 25, we tee them up essentially to mm-hmm. take over and hit a drive right down the fairway.
Let's be honest. We're not the ones that are going to get it done.
Right.
You know? So it's really coming to a place where, and this is what happened in my heart. I think God started to do a work to go, hey, when you get a burden for the people in the city that you're in, you stop trying to build your personal fiefdom. And you go, you know what, I'm going to give the whole thing away for the good of the region, right? So there's a point where you go, hey, I don't have to be the guy in the pulpit every week. Mm-hmm. My week may be better spent pouring into 4 or 5 young leaders and release them. One of the things that we're seeing is a reference. We do a group that meets one Monday night a month. There's about 30 local pastors or guys who want to be church planters. Mm-hmm. And to kind of give that away and say, you know, Michael, who's on our team, he's 26. In October, he's going to be taking us through how does a 26-year-old look at the world? Mm-hmm. What are the needs and the questions that 26-year-old men are asking today? What are their fears? What are their concerns? What are their hopes? Because, Brett, as you say, you know, you start mm-hmm. to get on the other side of 40. Mm-hmm. I think differently than a 26-year-old does. Mm-hmm. I need to give that platform and listen.
Yeah.
I think one of the things, too, that comes with this is, you know, just paying conscious attention to the reality that, you know, as we begin to handle God's word in the pulpit, these are places where we can grow and we can practice these things together. But then, you know, one of the things that I also enjoy is I'm watching you guys within Restoration also taking to the streets, taking to the context of where you live and just exegeting it, understanding it, getting out and getting in and around it. I mean, one of the things that's so troubling to me is like there's times where, you know, I'm interacting with leaders. And, you know, people say, you know, how do I be a better leader? How do I be more engaged with the context I'm in? I was like, why don't you make one of your days a week of work being out in the context that you're in? And mm-hmm. it's almost like, you know, it's almost verboten that this happens. You know, like, oh, I can't do that. I've got to be here. I'm going, man, that's part of how we grow in our leadership is we observe and we engage and we, you know, so that's just something I've seen in the life of those guys at Restoration and just excited about it.
We're going to continue with this in a minute because I know, Dan, you have something to add to it. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson and co-host Ryan Cozy. We're here with Dan Trippi today talking about mobilizing God's people for the gospel and leadership and how that all plays into it. We're going to be right back after this, and we're going to continue on with our conversation. Don't go away. It's just getting good. So we'll see you in just a minute.
Remember when R2-D2 had a special message for Obi-Wan? Well, the gospel is kind of like that, but it's not a secret, and it's from God, and it's life-changing. And, well, okay, so it's nothing like that, but it's really awesome, and God is doing great things in Western New York. Here's Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. I'm the general manager of WDCX here with Ryan Cozy, who is the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel at Cross Point. Our guest today, Dan Trippi, lead pastor of Restoration Church. That's a lot of words to tell you. The three of us are coming together to talk about how to help people engage in God's mission, especially when it comes to the Church of Western New York. We've kind of focused, taken a little turn today and focused on leadership and engaging and kind of some of the messy circumstances and messy environments that need people with the gospel coming into them so that they can kind of influence what's happening there. And Dan, I know you had a story of kind of how you guys do that at Restoration, and I'll just let you share it.
Sure. Yeah. Ryan had mentioned in the leadership position, kind of taking some time getting out of the office and pulling your nose out of a book and just walking around a little bit. And that's one of the exercises that we found to be really fruitful, is just take some time and then look at the different institutions that are in your circle of accountability. So what are the, you know, there's a factory on this street. Well, what does that tell me about some of the questions that are being asked? What does that tell me about how that culture is formed, how it thinks? Restoration, where our main location is right across from the University of Buffalo. That has a profound influence on the questions that people ask. And oftentimes I think our leaders, we're sharing the gospel and we're sharing it and we've got all the propositions correct, but yet we're missing the questions that our community is actually asking. And we can start to mine some of those by just looking at the cultural artifacts that are around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you're not doing that, you make assumptions. You know, absolutely. Well, it's probably this or it's probably that. It's like, well, yeah, but you can confirm a lot of that if you just get out, walk around, mm-hmm. understand the context. I mean, that's something they do well.
I think practically a lot of people are listening. A lot of you out there are listening. And I'm thinking maybe the same thing, too, is that this all, like, everybody would probably, every Christian who's got some relationship with God and lets the Holy Spirit speak to them a little bit will kind of agree with what we've talked about today. How does this play? Like, how do you take the first step? If you're a Christian who's lived inside the church your whole life, and I think we see this a lot. And actually one of the seminary courses, I think you probably had to take, Ryan, because you're a Liberty guy, is the evangelism and engaging in God's mission and how worship and evangelism play together and how you can't do one effectively without the other. But I think there's a lot of believers, and I'm not really casting stones because I think there's a ton of us who do this, and perhaps we're even guilty of it, who worship on Sunday and then are silent the rest of the week. And we may not be silent with our prayer life or anything else, but we're silent about what God is doing. And therefore, our worship on Sunday is really kind of in vain. Mm. It's really kind of pointless because we're worshiping someone who we're not willing to talk about. And how do we start?
Yeah, so here's what I would say is very strong in the research that we've looked at. Mm-hmm. Americans, by nature, we tend to want to do. We want to respond to something. Okay, here's what I need to do. And the hardest thing to hear as the first piece of advice is to pursue intimacy with God. Mm. You'll tell them, and you're just like, look, I want to do this. I feel guilty, or I feel motivated. I feel compelled. Great. Where do I start? You start by being desperate for God. And if those practices are not things that have been disciplines in your life, that's a very overwhelming feeling. You feel lost. But humble yourself. Humble yourself to say, what must I be able to do to pursue intimacy with God?
Because as we become more in love with what God has done for us and as we appreciate him more, we want to express it more.
It's the outflow. As you get closer and closer to God, there's just this passion that it gets ignited in you, that you look around and you see those that don't have it, and your heart, I mean, that it just, man, Lord, I want this for them. I want this for those people. Hmm. And, you know, a lot of times when I say start with intimacy with God, there are people, and I'm a very analytical, strategic thinker, okay? That's part of what I get paid to do.
I was going
to
say, you think?
Yeah. I mean, I love that. And yet I watch people when I start talking about one of the most strategic things you can do is pursue intimacy with God, they get frustrated. They get disappointed. And to be honest, the underlying reality is I think it's because, for whatever reason, I'm not saying I'm doing it. I think the Holy Spirit is exposing to them the greatest thing that's lacking in their life, which is the lack of pursuit.
Because that's where the hard work comes in, isn't it?
It is, but it's the acknowledgement that, like, you can't be a five-tool player. I'm a baseball guy.
Yeah.
You can't be a five-tool player in missional living and be completely disconnected from your Heavenly Father. I don't care how great, how winsome of an individual that you are. It's just
not going to work because you're working on your own power.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Dan, any thoughts there?
And within your intimacy with God, making a real part of your prayer life, specifically a name. You know, ask Lord, give me a name to be praying for. And it's incredible when you ask and you start to be faithful to pray for a specific person, for an intentional relationship. You'll be surprised that naturally those opportunities just come. In fact, the ball is on the tee. They will ask oftentimes. Mm-hmm. But it's just that. It's taking that intimacy with God in prayer and then connecting it to a very specific person or people that you're praying for.
We have something at our church that we started. It's called Pi Squared, and it's really not squared. It's just P-I-I, and it's pray, invest, and invite. So, and we have a card, and we ask people to put a name on it.
Yeah.
And just begin praying for that person. Mm-hmm. And begin praying, not necessarily for an opportunity to share the gospel and to win them in one big foul swoop, but just praying for ways to invest in that person's life, right, to get to know them. And then the last one is invite. And it might be invite them to an event. It might be invite them to know Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But invite them to some sort of spiritual conversation. And I think I love that. Just get a name and start there and then begin praying about that name. And that'll develop your intimacy with God.
Yeah, so one of the things, too, that I think you're hitting on and would just encourage people to understand is we live in a microwave kind of context, mm-hmm, culture. Mm-hmm. We just want to throw it in the micro, and in 90 seconds, we have our answer. And so you have to be willing to submit your trajectory of time as to when that person will ultimately say, hey, I'm into Jesus, or hey, stop. Yeah. You know,
it might take 20 years.
And that's, so this is the reality of repeated opportunities for every man, every woman and child to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. It's not a one shot and I'm done. I did my duty and I can now sleep at night. And there's fruit to this. Yeah. So, and that, I want to speak to the hope of it in my own personal life. Mm-hmm. My mother got saved at a Billy Graham crusade in, I think, 72 in Cleveland. Gave her life to Jesus at shortstop in Cleveland Municipal Stadium. That's where the gospel came into my family's life. The next person in our family that became radically convinced of the gospel and fully submitted themselves was me in 1997. Okay, wow. So 72 to 97, that's a long time. My mom prayed regularly. From 97 up until 06, I began praying and just crying out to God, like, Lord, save my brother Todd, save my sister Kristen, if you save my father Edward, it'll be like the splitting of the atom again. It'll be a miracle. And you know what's crazy, and I'm not saying God guarantees, but here's the deal. My brother walks with Jesus now, and his wife walks with Jesus, and his children are walking with Jesus. And he, you know, when he called me to tell me he gave his life to the Lord, It was crazy. My sister, as she gives her life to Jesus, the first call is to me, and she goes, it makes sense now. You're the first person I want to call. My father, and this was overwhelming to me, my father called me 3 years ago, and he just said, man, I just wanted to tell you that the gospel makes sense, and I gave my life to Christ, and I want to ask you, I want to ask you if you'll baptize me. So this is a mill-working, blue-collar dude.
Wow.
You know, from just years of praying. And honestly, my first prayer was to repent of the times that I just doubted God. Hmm. But God was faithful. It doesn't mean that he guarantees that all come to Jesus. But that fruit, people need to know there's fruit on the other end of that. And it may be in your family. It may be in friends. It may be, but just laboring toward the hope of the gospel in people's lives is a powerful thing.
Relationships are hard work, and relationships take time. Yes. And I think that's something that pragmatically, what can we do? I think we really do have to look and go, I'm in this for the long haul. So we go into a relationship, and an intentional relationship means, you know, to love somebody who's created in the image of God. They may never come to faith. Mm-hmm. I pray they do, but Christian love is, I'm going to walk the long road of love with you.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, your host and co-host today. And the other co-host is Ryan Cozy, who's a pastor from the chapel at Crosspoint, and Dan Trippi, pastor of Restoration Church, is with us. We're talking about just engaging with God's mission today and how the Church of Western New York can do that. Here toward the end of our broadcast, we have a few minutes left, and we're getting practical, and I love that because people listening just sometimes are just crying out because they're just trying to make it to the next day. I got to go to work tomorrow. Today I failed. I used a bad word at work. I was a bad example at work. I slipped and made a bad joke or whatever. You're just you're kind of beating yourself up today over that. Tomorrow's Monday. This program's airing today on Sunday, and tomorrow's Monday. So let me ask you guys this. Monday is a good place to start for somebody. Where do they're going to church. Maybe they call themselves a Christian. They're going to the chapel every week. They're going to Restoration. They're going to Grace Church. They're listening to they're kind of doing the Christian thing, but they lack intimacy with God. And we talked about how to start that or whatever. What, just like tomorrow morning when they wake up, is there a book they can pick up? Is there something that you guys recommend to somebody who just wants to start somewhere? I know the Bible. I'm not saying, but there's something. Is there some way to guide them through that? Is a book of the Bible to start with? Where do they start?
Yeah, I'm going to say start with the Bible.
Yeah,
right. So I'm going to start with
like a good pastor should.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what? I would encourage on Monday morning, open up whatever the day of the week is. Maybe what's that going to be? The 30th? Maybe open up Psalm 30. Yeah. Day of the week, and pray that passage. Mm. Read it out loud. Pray it, and pray it until God just warms the heart. With the words till he reveals himself, and then let that take you into prayer. Mm-hmm. Start with the word, read it out loud, read it slowly, and let that take you into prayer.
There are so many people that's just good. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Just like good practical advice, because we don't realize, because again, we're in this world and all of us, seminary, and we know where to go to look for this. And we're looking at the Greek lemma and all this stuff. But people out there, like you talked about, Joe's got a plumbing company and he's got a million things on his mind. He's got to pay the bills. And someone called last night and has an emergency and he's like, I just need, what do I do?
Yeah. Well, I think, starting there with what Dan was talking about, praying the Bible out loud, praying passages of Scripture out loud, I think also taking from what he said earlier, write a name down. Just begin to say, whether it's a family member or if it's a coworker or whatever, write the name down and just begin to, God, I'm willing to trust you that somehow, some way, by me opening your word, praying the word of God out loud, writing a name down, thinking about them throughout the course of the week, maybe write some thoughts down throughout the day. I mean, that's a discipline that's lost on many of us. It's just the idea of journaling. Where is God showing up in your life? Document it. It bolsters your faith. It bolsters your faith. Like the other day, I mean, just a good example. I'm involved in trying to help with an initiative in the city where we have we're trying to raise funds to start a college through in partnership with Houghton. And just kind of a setback yesterday. I wake up this morning to find an email from somebody who says, "Hey, I want to give $5,000 to this idea," and I'm just going, "Write it down. God answers prayer. He meets needs.
Absolutely.
Document it." Those types of things help everyday folks real easy.
Christ Together Radio. This is our first episode and our first program, and we just love what God is, I think, going to do through this, and just maybe helping you in your life and witnessing to other people and carrying out God's call for them. I'm Brett Larson, co-host Ryan Cozy. Today, our guest was Dan Trippi. He's the lead pastor of Restoration. We're going to carry on this discussion next week. We're going to talk about missional engagement, how to engage in God's mission, and how to develop intimacy in your walk with God, because the outflow of that will be reaching people with the gospel. So stay with us next week, 11 a.m. on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.